You are listening to the Advisor Solutions Podcast, episode 96. Welcome to the Advisor Solutions Podcast. I'm your host, Dan Finley, president of Advisor Solutions. Do you let your failures get the best of you? What I mean is, do you view losses such as not closing a prospect, losing a client, or making bad client recommendations as business setbacks? If so, know this. You are not alone. Most financial advisors, insurance agents, wholesalers, branch managers, and even agency managers let business failures get the best of them. And they don't even know it. And the reason they don't know it is because they've never realized that it's your perspective on losses that can lead to even greater wins. In other words, winning is exciting. But it's the losses. It's the losses that can shape us more profoundly, because they can lead to personal growth, resilience, and future victories that are much more important and more impactful than present situations. You see, I've always felt that a loss is never a loss if you learn from it. And learning from losses and the lessons of failure can actually lead to better results in the long run, if you live by this perspective. So what do? Well, you really have two choices. You can keep doing what you're doing, and you're going to keep getting what you're getting, or you could learn from the lessons of failure. And that's what we're going to talk about today. How to change your perspective on failing so that you can design a strategy to succeed. So, if you're ready to learn lessons from your failures, and stick around. So why this topic? Why would you want to learn how to change your perspective on failures, how to build resilience, and how to learn lessons from losing? Well, think of it this way. Most people feel that they only succeed when they win, and that's understandable. But there is always an opportunity for growth in the midst of the obstacle that you're trying to overcome. And if you never learn from your losses, then you're always doomed to repeat your failures. And that's why I wanted to do this podcast today, because I want you to understand that it is possible to change your perspective on failure and view it as the teacher, as your greatest teacher in life's lessons. So what we're going to do today are three things. First, learning from the lessons of failure so that you can understand the good that can come out of any bad situation. Second, designing your success strategy so that you know a simple process for using failure as a teaching tool to succeed. And third, the next level, so you know what to do when you're ready for the next step. Now, before we jump into those three things that we're going to talk about in this podcast, I need to ask you a few questions. What would your business be like and your life be like if you learn from your failures? Would you feel energized? Would you feel empowered? Would you like your business more? And would you apply what you learn? If the answer is yes, then let's begin. Learning from the lessons of failure. Let's face it, we all fail from time to time. In fact, if you didn't fail, you probably is because you just didn't even try. See, the problem is that most advisors and agents tend to view failure negatively. And herein lies the paradox. Trying and failing can create an avoidance atmosphere, which leads to itself to failure. Because the very items that were necessary to result in some form of success were never even attempted. In other words, you didn't even try. Does this cycle sound familiar to you? Let's view it from a different angle, a different perspective. How about this? Every failure is a lesson to learn from. And Malcolm Forbes said it best when he said, quote, "Failure is success if we learn from it," unquote. I think that's true. If we could take away from each of our failures some sort of wisdom, we'd be more likely to be more effective in the future. It would also mean that the act of trying, failing, learning, and not repeating the same action would itself be a win. As I coach advisors and agents each week, I'm looking for the lessons to be learned within the failures that they've experienced. And then I help them articulate and identify those lessons. You can learn a lot from your failures if you're open to doing so. The following lessons are a handful of the more common ones that I see each week. Let's go to lesson number one. Lesson number one, learning from experience. Well, failure can teach you a lot. It can teach you a lot about what not to do next time. You see, experience can be a great teacher, but you have to be willing to be a great student. You have to choose not to repeat the things that caused your previous failures. And if you don't, you are, in fact, not learning your lesson. So one example of this is a common challenge of overcoming objections. I was a financial advisor for 13 years, and it took me, over a decade before I realized that hearing objections such as, I'm busy, or I handle my own investments, or I already have an advisor, were merely objections that I could actually overcome if I wanted to. See, initially, when I came up against those types of objections, I thanked them for their time, and I hung up the phone. In other words, for a lot of years, I didn't learn from my experiences. That is, until one day that I was in a training seminar, and I learned a lesson. Let's go to lesson number two. Lesson number two, learning information. You see, failure can help you to gain insight that you would have never known otherwise. And during that training seminar that I attended over 20 plus years ago, the instructor explained two ways to overcome a core objection or the real objection. So this person's methodologies were the objection resolution model and another technique called feel, felt, found. And once I learned those techniques, I actually applied them, and I realized that although they weren't foolproof, they did work, and they worked most of the time. And they were good. They were good to use, because what it did is it built resilience in me. Let's go to lesson number three. Lesson number three, learning resilience. Failure can build resilience as long as you don't quit. You have to make course corrections along the way and continuously keep at it. And over the course of a few months of using these tools, I noticed that sometimes I couldn't overcome an objection. And I realized that it was typically when the prospect really wasn't being fully transparent with their core objection or the real objection. I gave this scenario a name, referring to it as the smokescreen or the smokescreen objection. Instead of giving up, I created my own process called the smokescreen technique. And what that did was unearth the core objection, so I could actually find the core objection to try to overcome it. Let's go to lesson four. Lesson four, learning to succeed. See, failure inevitably leads to success if you learn from any failures and you keep reaching for your goals. Just keep learning and keep taking action. My success at overcoming objections didn't happen overnight. But with patience, practice, and persistence, it became second nature. And when I teach my clients to do this, the same thing happens. Their success increases. In fact, one client makes a game out of seeing how many objections he can get in a day. So why does learning from failure work so well? Well, the lessons that I just went over are just a few of the possible things that you can take away from adversity. With every obstacle, there is always an opportunity for growth. And the reason they work so well, again, is because when you learn from your failures, they aren't failures. they actually become successes because you learn something new. Designing your success strategy. Well, it might sound a little strange to talk about designing your success strategy in the middle of a podcast about failure. But let's break down an important perspective about failure. What you did to fail is oftentimes the polar opposite of what you need to do to succeed. Let that sink in. What you did to fail is oftentimes the polar opposite to what you need to do to succeed. In fact, we can actually design a recipe on how to fail at any facet of your business. And the ironic thing is that if you're really honest with yourself, you're truly honest with yourself, you can look at anything in your life that's not working out, anything in your business that's not working out, in any facet of your business, such as time management, prospecting, sales, and so on, and map out what you're doing to fail. And then all you have to do is map out the polar opposite of the activities. And you can now design your own success strategy. So let's take a look at four facets of the business. What activities create failure and what activities create success? Remember, a loss is never a loss if you learn from it. So let's learn. Business facet number one, motivation. Now, motivation isn't really a facet of the business, but it is a crucial aspect of the business if you want to succeed. I can teach you all the tools, techniques, strategies, and solutions, but if someone isn't motivated to apply any of them, then nothing will change. So, let's take a look at several ways to fail at motivation. Number one, don't have a goal. You don't have a goal, so you don't know what you want to do, what you want to accomplish. Number two, don't have a plan, so you don't really know how you want to accomplish it. Number three, don't have a time horizon, so you don't really know when you want to accomplish something. And number four, don't have a purpose. You don't know why you want to accomplish something. And number five, don't have accountability. You don't have any consequences if you don't accomplish something. If you can relate to those five things that we talked about and being not motivated, then you need the polar opposite. So, let's look at ways to succeed at being motivated. Number one, you have a goal or goals, so you know what you want to accomplish. Number two, you have a plan or plans, so you know how you want to accomplish it. Number three, you have a time horizon, so you know when you want to accomplish it, whatever it is. Number four, you have a purpose, so you know why you want to accomplish something. Number five, you have accountability, so you have consequences if you don't accomplish it. Now, this might sound simple, but let me explain how it works for my clients when they're not motivated and just don't know what to do. Let's say that you're on a production plateau. You want to get to the next level, but you aren't really motivated to do so. In fact, you like the idea of having a record-breaking month, but you don't really like the idea of doing what you need to do or what it takes to get there. So, if you are my client, this is what we do. We create a goal. Maybe it's a production goal. I'd want to find out what type of production do you want to do. Then we create a plan. How are we going to get there? How are we going to get to that production level? Maybe we'll do cross-selling. Maybe it's new prospects or a combination of both. Then we're going to create a time horizon. I suggest we look at a quarterly time horizon, but measure it out each month so we can see if we're making progress. Then we'd create a purpose. Why do you want to do this? Is it to reduce your anxiety? To hit a record month? To create an accomplishment that you've never done before? Or to get negative pressure from the company off your back? Also, we'd create accountability. Each day, you would email me at the end of the day an accountability email to let me know how many dials you did, how many contacts, how many appointments you set, and how many people you closed. We track this on a daily basis with a daily tracker. In addition, we would create a reward punishment system. So this is where the fun begins. You'll actually turn prospecting and production into a game so that you can have fun by rewarding yourself or actually punishing yourself if you don't hit your goals. And here's what's going to happen. If you were a client, we were doing this. You'll get motivated. You'll be motivated to win the game and reward yourself. And you'll also be motivated to not lose the game and punish yourself. And that's how we would design your success strategy when it comes to staying motivated. Let's go to the next business facet. Business facet number two, time management. Okay, so time management is one of those facets of the business where most advisors and agents don't really give it much thought. The reason is because they think that being busy all day is the same as being productive. Also, most people don't know how to manage their time better because they've never really learned a better way of time management. So let's take a look at several ways to fail at time management. Number one, no structure to the day. So you come in and you just let the day unfold. Number two, no way to handle interruptions or tasks. So everything's important and urgent, and you do everything right now, every time you're interrupted. Number three, no process to screen interruptions. So you make promises to do the activity right away, and you do it. Number four, no clarity on your role. So you end up doing your assistant's tasks. And number five, no way to measure your time management progress. That's not good. So this reminds me of a lot of financial advisors and insurance agents who explain to me that there's not enough time in the day. And when I hear that, I know that they're failing at their time management because they're telling me they don't have enough time. In fact, I pretty much know that at least two or three out of the five ways to fail that I just mentioned are standard practice for them. Now, one advisor told me that he never has a plan for what to do when he comes in each day, and that after 30 years in the business, it's always been like that, each and every day. He told me he comes in, he gets phone calls from clients, he puts out fires, the next thing he knows, it's 5 o'clock, and he goes home. Another advisor said that it's just easier if she takes care of the little things rather than delegate to her assistant because it takes time to explain those things to her. And in the time that it takes, she could have done those things on her own. What she didn't realize was that she was doing two jobs, her and her assistant's job. And all of the little things add up to a lot of things, a lot of wasted time. Can you relate to these stories and these five ways to fail at time management? I'm sure you can. In fact, most advisors and agents can. And if so, you need a success strategy when it comes to time management. And here's what it is. So if you were my client and you had time management challenges, what we're going to do is, first, we're going to create structure to your day by using this tool that I created called the bottom line list. And what it will do for you is it will map out exactly what you're going to do and when you're going to do it for 45 minutes. Then you take a break and then go to the next one. We'll also talk about learning how to handle interruptions and tasks by using a tool that I call the Time Matrix To-Do List. And then we're going to create a process to screen the interruptions. In other words, you'll have a dialogue that I call the call-in, walk-in dialogue, so you'll know exactly what to say when you get interrupted. And also, we'll create clarity with your role, what you do, by doing the role exercise, so you know exactly what you do versus what your assistant does. And we'll create a way to measure your time management process by creating accountability emails. And here is what's going to happen. You're now going to feel like you're in control of your time instead of other people controlling it. And you're going to get more done in less time because you're going to be effective and efficient with your day. And one advisor said to me that he has actually been working in the business for 20 years. But in the last 3 months that we've been working together, his time management skill sets have totally changed. And he said, basically, he's doing more in less time because he's got better tools. Let's go to the next facet. Business facet number 3, prospecting. So the reality is that when I first speak to advisors and agents or wholesalers, and I ask about their prospecting, they really don't know how bad it is. In other words, they don't know that they're failing. You see, failing at prospecting is pretty much common. I believe it's because a lot of rookies don't know what it takes to prospect. They just weren't taught. And a lot of veterans stop prospecting when they get a bigger client base. So let's take a look at several ways to fail at prospecting. Number 1, no target market, so you don't know who you're going to call. Number 2, no structure to prospecting, so you don't know what you're going to say. Number 3, no way to handle objections, so you don't know how to set the appointment. Number 4, no way to set the closing appointment, so prospects get stuck. Number 5, no way to measure the pipeline success, so you don't know how you're doing. You see, these are real-world challenges that a lot of advisors and agents have, and most of the time, they don't know what to do about it. Instead, they think that quantity, or just doing more, working harder, will be the answer. And the old saying goes, it's a numbers game. And while that's partially right, there's another part of this. The flip side of quantity is quality. In other words, not working harder, but working smarter, getting better at what you're doing when you're prospecting. And it reminds me of when I was a rookie. I would cold call from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m., 5 days a week, sometimes on Saturday. I had the quantity of calls. In fact, my record was 300 dials in a day, and I actually had 100 contacts, spoke to 100 people that day. But I didn't have quality in those calls. In other words, I was winging it, and winging it doesn't work. Can you relate to this and these 5 ways of failing at prospecting? I'm sure you can. In fact, most advisors and agents can. And if so, you need a success strategy when it comes to prospecting. And here's what it is. So if you were my client and you had a prospecting challenge or challenges, what we'd work on is this. Number 1, we'd define your target market, so you know who to call. Number 2, we'd create structure to prospecting, so you know what to do and what you're going to say. And we'd actually use a process to start off the call called framing the conversation. Number 3, you will learn how to handle objections. I'll teach you several techniques and actually show you a tool called the Advisor's Edge, so you don't even have to memorize how to handle these objections. It's right there in front of you. Number 4, you'll learn how to close the first appointment. And it's a technique that I created called the spin selling summary. So you summarize why they should meet again, and they will. Number 5, you'll have ways to measure your pipeline by using a tool that I created called the New Business Strategy List. And here's what's going to happen. If you're a client and you apply these solutions, you're now going to feel like you have control of your prospecting instead of hoping that your pipeline will grow. And your business is going to grow because of not only the quantity of calls, but the quality of calls. More than one financial advisor has gathered more assets in a day than they did in the previous year. That's right, than the previous year. And I've had advisors tell me that they'd be out of the business if it weren't for getting coaching. So if you've got challenges when it comes to prospecting, I'm confident we've got solutions. Let's go to the next facet. Business facet number 4, sales. Most advisors, agents, and wholesalers think that they're great at sales. But what they don't understand is that there's a lot more to sales than just telling people what to do and what your products are. Remember, people hate to be sold, but they love to buy. And If you know how to help them want to buy, then they will. You see, failing at sales can be a hidden challenge. What I mean is, you may not realize what you're doing wrong. Instead, you just think that you're good at sales. So let's take a look at several ways to fail in sales. Number one, no way to ask great questions. So you don't really know how to get the prospect to understand their challenges and to see the value of your solutions. Number two, no way to understand their personality type. So you don't really know what their hot buttons are or what their cold buttons are. Number three, no way to tell stories. So you don't really know how to take the complexity out of the products and services that you have and make them very simple for the prospect to understand. Number four, no way to instantly connect so the prospect doesn't feel heard. And number five, no way to close so the prospect really doesn't have a way to understand why they should buy before they even heard your recommendations. See, these are real-world challenges that a lot of advisors and agents don't even know they have. So, as I went down that list of ways to fail at sales, did it surprise you? Could you relate to not knowing some of these things and not having solutions? The funny thing is, I literally could relate to all of them. Even after 13 years as a financial advisor, I still didn't know what I didn't know, and I didn't even know I didn't know it when it came to sales. In other words, I was winging it, and winging it doesn't work. Sure, I knew the products and services that I could recommend, and I recommended those. Also, I knew why I was going to recommend those products and services, but I didn't really know the interpersonal soft skill sets to create what I call effortless connections so that I could connect with anyone, anywhere, anytime, and so that the prospect wanted to buy before I ever showed them my recommendations. Can you relate to this? Can you relate to the five ways to fail at sales? There's a lot more than five, but can you relate to these? I'm sure you can. In fact, most advisors and agents can. If so, you need a success strategy when it comes to sales. And here's what it is. So if you were my client and you had a challenge with sales, here's what we'd do. Number one, you'd learn spin selling so that you knew how to ask better questions to get the prospect to uncover their situation, their problems, the implication of not fixing their problems, and how they feel about your solutions. It's a process to ask better questions. Number two, you'd learn personality-based selling, so you'd know what their hot buttons are and what their cold buttons are. And that way, you could speak their language. Number three, you'd learn story-based selling, so you know how to simplify your recommendations and your products and services so they understand you better. Number four, you'd learn what I call the filler formula. It's just a simple formula to make an instant connection with people. It's question, answer, and then filler. And number five, you'd learn the psychology of closing the second appointment so that the prospect wants to buy before ever hearing your recommendations. It's a process that really helps them to understand what they need. One client closed 20 out of 21 prospects after he learned this process. And here's what's going to happen. If you're a client and you learn how to do this, and you learn from your failures, you're now going to feel like you're in control of your sales process instead of hoping that you can sell to the next person. And you're going to have more success. I can't tell you how many times I've coached advisors and agents on what I call situational coaching, where somebody's in the pipeline and they literally tell me the situation. We work out a strategy and then they go off and do it. And I get a call, an email, or a text saying, I close them. It's that simple. The next level. So I said we covered three things in this podcast. First, learning from the lessons of failure. Check, we did that. Second, designing your success strategy. Check, we did that too. Now what we're going to talk about is the next level, so that you know what to do when you're ready to succeed. By now, you probably know that you have some of the challenges in your business that I had just mentioned. But what you might not know is that solutions that I had mentioned won't work for you unless you have the right help. What I mean is, to read a book or listen to a podcast is a great beginning, but it's a terrible ending. The reason is that unless you have someone to help you fully understand what you read or listen to, you'll soon forget, and those solutions won't become common practice for you in your business. You see, you owe it to yourself to take the next step. But what is the next step? Well, if this podcast has helped you in any way to understand the challenges that you're going through and the solutions that you need, then we need to talk. In fact, email me at dan@advisorsolutionsinc.com. And in the subject line, just write, "Let's talk," and we'll set up a time for a free coaching session. Because if you do, I'm confident that you can learn from other people's mistakes, and you can learn from your own mistakes as well. And you'll learn from your lessons of failure. Well, thank you for listening to this Advisor Solutions podcast. If you liked what you heard, please be sure to subscribe so you can listen each week. Also, check us out on the web at AdvisorSolutionsInc.com. And finally, if you like what you heard and you want to know more about the Advisor Solutions group coaching program or the Advisor Solutions individual coaching programs, please email me at dan@advisorsolutionsinc.com. I would be happy to set up a free coaching session if that's what you'd like. Again, that's dan@advisorsolutionsinc.com. Please join us next week as we help advisors and agents build a better business, one solution at a time.